that it's here in my presence that you experience my peace. But it's those who spend much time saturating in my presence who walk in my peace. For the presence that you sense in your spirits is the presence that I have destined my children to walk in all the day long. For I am the Prince of Peace. And if you'll keep your eyes focused on me, the sustainer of your souls, you will find that my peace will be there to sustain you in the midst of trial. For there's many tribulations for the righteous, but I deliver them from them all. But it's when your feet are shod with the peace of God, when your feet are steady and firm on the rock of doing my sayings through my peace, that you will be able to stand, says the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Jesus. Yes, for it's my peace that transcends knowledge that is found when you seek me with your whole hearts. Lip service will not do. I need your heart, says the Lord. So surrender your heart daily. Surrender your heart from the moment of your rising to your downfall. And you will find that if you will keep your eyes focused on me, that you will have all the strength that you need. For I am your strength. Then this is from the Psalms. He says, some trust in horses, some trust in chariots, but our trust is in the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, David was a man of prayer, and he said that with my God, I can advance against a troop. With my God, I can scale a wall. He called God his stronghold. A stronghold is where the people would go in times of war for protection. He believed that God was, you know, everything that was causing his success as a king in all the wars and battles that he fought, he believed it was all because God was behind it. Amen. He really truly believed that. And he did absolutely incredible things by himself. He would go slay more men by himself than a whole army could, because the Spirit of God would come upon him. Amen. Hallelujah, Jesus. He said this to be organized. He said to be organized in your thoughts. You must take inventory of every thought, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of me. Bring captive every thought to the obedience of my word. See, I'm trying to put this together here. Let me just try to put this together for you in a way that you can understand it. Because this generation is a drive-through generation, and we've been programmed by society for our minds to be set on cruise control. Your thoughts are provided for you through the social media. And if you're in this generation now, there's so many thoughts that are provided for you that it's difficult to slow your mind down. Your mind is constantly being fed too much information. This is not what God intends for you. The only information that He wants you to know about is found in His Word. So if your mind gets riled up and it's constantly sped up because of all this information and everything going so quickly, everything is so fast, there's just no time to relax. Everything you're going from the time you wake up to the time you go to bed, and it feels like you need another 5 hours just to get that day done. And because of this, it's difficult to slow the mind down. It can be difficult if you don't practice taking constant inventory of your thoughts. You know, if you want to open there, I'll show you a scripture where God talks about thoughts. Isaiah 55. While we're talking about this, we might as well see what God says about it. Isaiah 55, he says this. In verse 6, seek the Lord while he may be found. Thank you for your word, Lord. Seek, he says, to call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the evil man his thoughts. So we're supposed to get rid of our thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, and he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed to the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out of my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I have sent it. You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. Now what God's telling him, he's saying, look, humanity as a whole, you know, it's not until we get saved that we can even endure this transformation process that he expects from us. But he's saying, look, your thoughts are wicked. You need to replace them with a new thought. And he says, it's in my word, is what he's trying to get across to you. Before God spoke his word, it was his thoughts. He meditated on it until he was satisfied with what he was about to speak, because God is immutable. He cannot change. He cannot go back on his word. Once he speaks it, it's done. It's law. He sets the law in motion by his word. He can't change his word. So he thought about it and pondered it, and when he was satisfied with what he was about to say, then he spoke it. You see, see if we can keep going here. We operate on a finite level, and God operates on an infinite level. You see, but he's saying, come up to my level. He's saying, replace these evil thoughts with my word. Let my word transform you. And he says this. His word will not return void. He compares it to the rain or the snow coming down to water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it'll provide seed to the sower and bread for food. He says, in the same way, when my word comes out of my mouth, it's not going to return void. In other words, God's word's going to do what he says. And the end result, if you do this, he tells you, is peace. You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. He says in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, he says, therefore, in view of God's mercies, offer your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, for this is your reasonable service. And then he says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. That's your thoughts. Be transformed by the renewing of your minds. Then, so the end result of if we will not be conformed to this world, and the way we're not conformed to this world is we first, like he said, offer our bodies a living sacrifice. When we say fire fall down, that's saying that, look, my body's a living sacrifice. We're ready for the fire to come down upon this sacrifice of my life, is what we're really saying in that song. Amen. I've never read into it, but I can only imagine that's what they would be talking about. Fire fall down, because the fire would fall down on the altar and it would lick up the sacrifice in the Old Testament. So now, he says that we're supposed to offer our bodies a living sacrifice, and if we do, if we will offer our bodies a living sacrifice, he says, a few things are going to result. Number one, you will not be conformed back to this world after you're born again. Now, if you don't offer your body a living sacrifice, because of your spiritual hunger, we need to be full. People will be full. You will always be full of one or two things. You will either be full of God or you're going to be full of the world. Amen. Carnal Christians, if they are even saved, they're still full of the world. If you were to set them next to an unbeliever, there's really not much difference in their lives. We don't want to walk there. Amen. We do not want to be labeled as a carnal. We don't want to get to heaven and be labeled as a carnal Christian. Amen? So if we will offer our bodies as a living sacrifice, that means we surrender all to Jesus. Like Jesus said, anyone who does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. He said, you must deny yourself and take up your cross daily and follow me. He said, whoever wants to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world? That's the approval of your peers. That's joking around at your peers when you should be listening to God's word. And yet forfeit your soul, which it should be transformed in church. Amen. Amen. Mark 8:35 and 36. So if we will offer our bodies a living sacrifice, we won't be conformed to this world, but instead we'll be transformed by the renewing of our minds in two areas. According to the word of God, when it comes to salvation, healing, prosperity, God's protection, deliverance, all the things He's provided within salvation. You know, when Peter talked about healing, when they healed the man, he said, salvation is found in no one else, for there's no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. But what he was talking about is healing, because healing, that word salvation, if you break it down to the Greek, means deliverance, preservation, healing. It's all encompassed within that one word, all of it. It's complete wholeness and soundness, spirit, soul, body, every facet of life. So two areas, we're going to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, and it's going to result in us. Number one, we're going to be transformed according to the Word of God, so we're going to be able to test and approve of what God's will is, His good, acceptable, and perfect will. That's what it says, Romans 12. So we're going to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, so we can test and approve of what God's will is. That's when it comes to His Word. Some people don't believe in healing, but His perfect will is that you accept His Word and be healed. Some people don't believe in prosperity, and they pride themselves in being poor. They like to be poor. They think that's humility, but it's not. It's not at all. He wants His will to be done upon the earth as it is in heaven. He walks on streets of gold, the gates of pearls. 12 foundations to the city are all kinds of precious pearls. There's absolute opulence in heaven. He wants that to be done here on earth. That's how it was before sin entered the world. It was absolute provision in the Garden of Eden. That's what we're headed towards, a restoration of what was in the garden. That's what He's going to do during the millennium, before the new heavens and the new earth collide together. We're going to restore it back to the Garden of Eden. There'll be no more tempter. Amen. No more sin. Well, some people will sin, but they're going to get immediately capital punishment. I mean, there's no tempter. Why would you want to do that when you got all this provision around? We got it good. Amen. So now, if we'll be transformed with our thoughts according to God's Word, this takes constant meditation. Let me just explain something to you. A lot of Christians think that their three chapters a day are going to transform their mind. It's not enough. I'll explain why. It's especially not enough in this generation where there's so much constant information bombarding you from everywhere you look. Your soul is designed by God. He created your soul, which is your mind, your will, your intellect, your emotions. He created your soul to conform to whatever you subject it to the most. Your soul will transform to whatever you subject it to. If you subject it to coarse joking on TV shows, that's what your soul's going to be full of. That's what you see behind a lot of pulpits. The preacher gets up and every three, four sentences, he's got to say some kind of joke about something to make the people laugh because that's what's in his soul. It's not good. He says we're supposed to teach with integrity and seriousness of speech that cannot be condemned. That's what the Bible says. Seriousness. You know, I understand there's some jokes that are okay, but it's pretty few and far between. Now, God isn't into us being unhappy. He wants us to have joy, but He wants it to be the joy of the Lord, not the worldly joy. So we want to be able to test and approve of what God's will is for His Word. What it's found in His Word, that's through that transformation process. But also in Romans 12, right after that, He goes into talking about the will of God for your life. So if we'll first of all sacrifice our life on the altar and say, look, Jesus, I'm yours. I give you my body as a living sacrifice. Then we can start, instead of being conformed to this world, we'll be transformed by the renewing of our minds to be able to test and approve of what God's will is concerning His Word, everything that He promised us. And the second part is, we're going to begin to find the good, acceptable, perfect will of God for our individual lives. What He's called us to do, the call of God. Amen. And that's what He's talking about in Romans 1. And then he says in Romans 12, verse 3, he says this. He said, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance to the measure of faith that God has given you. And then he talks out of his calling. The Apostle Paul talks out of it. And then in verse 6, he says, we have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others or helps ministry, he said, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Amen. So he's talking about the calls of God now. So if we make this decision to give our lives on the altar of meditating God's Word, and this is like, you have to make like David cried out. Just read through Psalm 119. It's the longest chapter in your Bible. But if you read through that chapter one time, I mean, just every few words, he's talking about the Word of God. He's just talking about how much he loves the Word. He calls it different things. He calls it the law of God and the precepts and statutes and so on. But what he's referring to in all of those different descriptive words of it, he's talking about the Word of God, how much he loved the Word of God. And that's what God is looking for. That's you know, a good way to tell a true Christian from an imposter or someone who just is real carnal and doesn't really care about their faith is their love for the Word. Their love for the Word. And you wouldn't really know that unless you watched. First of all, you'd see it in their walk eventually. If they spent much time in the Word, you're going to see it in their walk. They're going to have faith when everybody else is down and out, and everyone else is discouraged, they're going to be one that's always up. Nothing can defeat them. Nothing can stop them. They just never seem to be down. And if they do get down, they're right back up there. They're not wishy-washy. Why? Because they've got God's strength. Jesus said, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. It's the Word of God. He said that in Matthew 4:4 and Luke 4:4. Said the same thing. Luke, he just said, man does not live by bread alone. He just said this, and this is from Joshua. He said, through constant meditation of my word, you will find that you will no longer be discouraged, but you will have great courage. Yes, says the Lord, you will be strong. You will be one who is very strong in the Lord and the power of His might. You will be strong and very courageous. And you will be able to look back and see that you've become very successful. For if you continue in my word, you are my disciples indeed. For it's my truth of my word that sets you continually more and more free. So plant yourselves in my book. Keep it before your eyes. Keep my words always continually upon your lips. Speak my word in every situation. Meditate my word day and night. Keep my word going in your ears. Continually look upon it. Continually let it transform your minds, and you will find that the end result will be you will look back and find that you are no longer weak but strong. You are no longer a failure, but you are a success. For my word will make you a success, says the Lord. I'm just going to say this with that. If you just take that one prophecy right there and do what that says, just that one thing, I can guarantee you success. Just that one thing. If we went home right now and I just said, go listen to this every day, go listen to this one thing that I just told you, that short prophecy, if you'll listen to it every day 100 times and you'll just simply do what it says, you'll be successful. Because then you'll be constantly keeping the information of God, His thoughts that are higher than our thoughts, flowing through our minds. If someone is alcoholic, if someone's addicted to running around with prostitutes, if someone is a drug addict, if someone's addicted to smoking, if someone it just can't seem to sit still, they're a nervous person, their people are full of fear, they got to wash their hands 50 times, it doesn't matter what your bondage is, God's word will set you free. And it's a daily process. It's a transformation process. Transformation. You know, if anybody's ever seen a monarch butterfly, have you ever seen the transformation process they go through? Absolutely amazing. That thing, it's like a little worm and it turns into a pile. They say inside of that little cocoon. Thank you. Inside that cocoon, that thing supposedly turns completely liquid. And then God reforms that thing and it comes out of mono. I mean, if that doesn't tell you there has to be a God, how can that worm turn into liquid and then come out flying out a beautiful butterfly? That's exactly what God wants to do with you. And it's not going to happen sovereignly. It's not going to fall on you like a ripe cherry out of a tree. But if we will subject ourselves to God continually, Jesus is the Word. Do you agree with me? John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You know, in 1 John, he said, this we tell you concerning the Word of life, that which we've looked at and our hands have touched, the Word of life, he called them. He said, the life appeared. God's Word is life. John 6:63 says this. He said, it's the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profits nothing. The words that I have spoken to you, they are spirit and they are life. God said, I set before you this day life or death, blessings and cursings. Therefore, choose life. If we will choose God's word and choose in our hearts that we will to obey it continually, that's it. It's over with. The devil has no hold on you. You have to, you know, a lot of people are strong-willed about foolish things. And some people say, you know, like if it's cold today, that just it doesn't matter what you tell them. I'm not going outside. You ain't getting me to go out there. Some people, you know, if it's snowing, maybe they got in an accident in the past or something. Say, I'm not going to work today. And nobody's going to make me. I will not go. No, not going to go. They're strong-willed about foolish things like that. They refuse to let go of them. What we need is some people who are strong-willed and adamant about meditating God's word day and night. If you would just believe that one thing, if I could just convince you that God, I'm telling you this is real, that if you will meditate this book day and night, you will guarantee you cannot stay a failure, you will end up a success. It is impossible if you keep these words, these thoughts of God passing through your mind continually, it is impossible to stay addicted. Impossible. The Word of God is the key to, Jesus said, you continue my Word, the truth of the Word will set you free. He says it in another place, if someone's caught in a religious bondage. 2 Timothy 2:25 and 26, it says, those who oppose him, he must gently instruct in the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to a knowledge of the truth. The truth he's talking about in 2 Timothy chapter 2, if you read the whole chapter, he's referring to the Word of God throughout that whole chapter. It says, study, show yourself approved unto God, a workman need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth just before that. So he says, leading him to a knowledge of the truth, and that he'll come to his senses and escape from the trap of the devil who's taken him captive to do the devil's will, to do his will. So if we're taken captive in any area, and we're weak, and the devil's pulling us around from left to right, and we're weak in an area, he's telling you that it's God's word through the preacher, or whether you meditate it, God's word will set you free. If you're captive, you will get set free. Now, this may sound like a boring teaching to some. Some may find this boring, but you know, I'm telling you that this is the absolute key to success. This is it. I heard messages like this over and over and over when I was young in the Lord, and it didn't seem to be that important to me then, but I found out that it is an absolute fact. If you will do this, you will stay strong. There'll be no more ups and downs anymore. You'll get every prayer answered. Everyone, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And if you hear it, some people hear it like he says in Romans 10. Now, most people don't know this, but in Romans 10, he also says, did they not hear? And he's talking about Israel, but they didn't believe. So it is possible to hear and not believe, but if you go in to God's Word with the intention to believe, you will grow in your faith. It will happen. You will grow in your faith. And if you grow in your faith, you might want to listen. Maybe this sounds a little boring, but it won't anymore. If you grow in your faith, faith is what pleases God, and He rewards those who diligently seek Him. Anybody like to get a reward? Anybody like to get... How would it feel if you got every single thing you asked for in prayer? How would that make you feel if you got every single prayer answered? Wouldn't that feel good? Amen. Because I get every single prayer answered. I can't think the last time that I prayed for something and God said no to me. Some things take a little longer than others, but every single thing that I have prayed for, He's given me. Everything. Everything. And that's no lie. We get our prayers answered. Michelle and I, if a problem comes, we just pray. And God answers it every single time, no matter what it is. So if He can do that for me, who am I? I'm no greater than you. We're all equal, he said, let no one call you master, teacher. We're all equal. My job's just to teach you what He's taught me. So if I can get all my prayers answered, that means that you could get all your prayers answered. But you need faith, you see. And faith comes through His Word. What it really comes from, it's not just from His Word. It's from having a real, living relationship with the author of the book. You see, because if I told you that I'm going to do something for you, if I told you I'm going to give you $1 million right now, you'd say, pfft. Yeah, right, buddy. You don't got the $1 million, right? That may be what you'd say. But if I was a businessman and you found out over the next the period of the next couple months, and you observed me and started to spend time on me and found out that I'm running a business behind the scenes, running a machine shop that nobody knows about, but I'm now you become my friend, you got to know me, I'll let you in on it and say, look, I'm a millionaire. I got this machine shop. I mean, I'll give you $1 million, you see? And that's how it is with God. You wouldn't know it until you got to know Him, because He reveals secrets to those who get to know Him. He told His disciples, He said, I no longer call you servants, but I call you my friends. He says, a servant doesn't know his master's will. He said, but everything I learned from the Father, I've made known to you, you see? Because they obeyed God, and because He said that they humbled themselves, He was able to reveal it. He says, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you've hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to babes, so little children. He said, yes, Father, this was your good pleasure. And the things he's talking about is the miracles and so on and so forth in context. So what we want to do is we just want to spend all our time alone with God. Now, how are we going to do that in this fast generation? My personal suggestion as a pastor, what I find to be convenient, not my favorite way to go about it, but I like to listen to the Word. I'd much rather have the book in front of me reading it, but because of circumstances and so on and so forth, and all the many duties of a pastor and many things that come up, sometimes it just isn't convenient to do that. So I spend the good majority of my time listening to the Word, listening to it. Now let me just give you some examples so there nobody's open to blame. Now we can listen to it on CD. I think it's something like $27. You can buy the whole New Testament on CD. You can get it on an iPod or your Droid phone. You can buy it and get it on your audio media player. You can get it downloaded. I don't know what the cost of that is. It's not very much. You can, if you have the internet, you can just go to Bible Gateway or many other Bible websites, and you can just stream that right into your phone or right into your media player. You can do that. Or your computer. You see? You say, I don't have any of that. Well, you could go buy a tape player or an 8-track if you must. You see, and you could just read the Bible read through the New Testament one time and record it, and then after that you'd have it recorded in your own voice. You could listen to it. Well, I don't have time to listen to it. Do you take a shower every day? Yeah, I take a shower every day. Well, if you do what I said, you'd have time to listen to it in the shower, wouldn't you? What are you doing in there? There's nothing else to think about in there. So you could think about the Bible in the shower. You could play that on a radio in the shower. And then while you brush your teeth, get ready for your day. By the time you're done at the shower getting ready for your day, some people take some around an hour to do all this stuff running around. You could have a whole hour's worth of the Word in every day. That would be enough to sustain a person. I would say an hour would be enough to sustain a person. And that's even going about your business. But if you are going about your business like that, running around multitasking, my suggestion is this: if you don't know what the content of the chapter was, listen to it twice. Or rewind. I rewind. If my mind wanders for even 1 second, I've trained myself to rewind instantly. You see? And if you keep doing that over and over and over, what will happen is you'll train yourself that you're going to listen, because you just don't want to have to listen to it over and over and over. You'll train yourself. You'll break yourself of that habit of letting your mind wander. So if you just get it on a recording device or player or whatever, and play it just when you're getting ready in the morning from the time in your bathroom alone, you get approximately half an hour to an hour worth of the Word every day. Now, that's not all. You can keep going here. If you love Jesus like you claim you do, you're going to love the Word, because Jesus is the Word. You can't love Jesus without loving the Word. A lot of people tell me they love Jesus, but when I start quoting scriptures at them, they say, I don't agree with that. I don't believe that. It's not what I believe. This is what I believe, and what they believe doesn't have anything to do with the Word. So you know that they don't love the Word. What they love is man's traditions, just like the Pharisees and Sadducees in Jesus' day. They took the Word and twisted it and changed it. By the time they were done with it, it didn't mean what they said, because they had opinions about the Word. They didn't take it literal like they said. Was the Bible to be taken literally? Absolutely. 1 Corinthians 4:6, he said, I've applied these things to myself and Apollos, that you might learn from us the meaning of the saying, do not go beyond that which is written. Don't go beyond it. In other words, the Word means what it says. There's no reason to change it. God's more intelligent than any human being on the face of the earth. And if intelligent people mean what they say when they speak, of course God means what He says. This is not all parables and allegories and confusing things. You know, the Bible is to be taken literally wherever possible. And if there is figurative speech being used, because God does speak in every form of human expression, He does do that, parables and riddles and allegories and many other forms of speech. If it is figurative language, then we need to find out what the literal truth is being expressed by the figurative language. There's always a literal truth in that. And usually it's very, very, very clear. And if you can't figure it out from the few verses, if you just read the whole chapter 2-3 times, you'll see that a 4-year-old can figure it out. Amen. And that's a fact. If there's anything in the Bible that doesn't make sense, then go back and read the whole chapter. Again, if necessary, read the chapter before and the chapter after and that chapter. Read it again and try to put it together again. And you'll see that the Holy Spirit will show you that it was very simple all along. Amen. So we're going to spend a lot of time in the Word. Why? Because it's our strength. It's our strength. Amen. It will break down any drug addiction, any alcohol addiction, any smoking addiction, any gambling addiction, any sex addiction, any eating addiction, any obsessive compulsive disorder, any manic depression, bipolar. Doesn't matter what it is, you will get set free. I'll tell a story. I'm not going to use the man's name because I don't know if he'd want me to use his story again, but I know of a minister from India, and he came over to the United States, him and his wife, and, you know, later on they ended up going back to India because they were having emotional problems and nothing seemed to be working. They could not get the word to apply it to their lives to the point where it was working for them off the page of the book. It just wasn't working. And his wife was having all sorts of emotional swings, losing her mind completely. He was having emotional problems. He finally got so mad. He said, "Where is the God of the Bible?" He threw the Bible up against the wall. They moved back to India. He said, "I'm done with this whole thing." He wrote letters to every minister he knew. He said, "This whole faith, this whole thing of faith is all lies." He said, "It doesn't work. Just give it up. It's not going to work," because he couldn't get it. So what he's really doing was basing his opinion of God based off of his own circumstances instead of off of God's Word. And that's what most people do. That's what the majority of people do. If they can't get it to work, they claim that it doesn't work. But the reality is they are the ones that don't work. Because God's Word always works. He says His Word will not return void. And I'm telling you, it does not return void. Don't believe me? One time, let me give you an example of it not returning void. When I lived in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, to go to Bible college, had two humongous trees blocking my two windows in the front of my apartment, and it bothered me because I couldn't see who's coming and who's going. I could see nothing. These big trees are blocking me. And one day it bothered me so bad that I figured I'm going to be like Jesus and I'm going to talk to the tree. I said, "You trees, be thou removed and be gone from here in Jesus' name and never come back," or something like that, I said. And maybe a couple months later, there was a huge ice storm. If anybody knows about an ice storm, it's different than a snowstorm. You can get a couple feet of snow and it won't do any damage to trees. But if you get just a couple inches of ice, it will bring big, massive oaks down. It'll bring them down. Just a couple months later, that's exactly what happened. We have an ice storm. Both those trees came down. No other trees came down. Those trees right in front of my windows came down. Why? Because I told them to go. You can question that and reason that and rationalize that all you want. That happened because I spoke to those trees and God brought them down. Amen? God's Word does not return void. It will accomplish that which He pleased to propose and prosper for the thing for which He sent it. So we want to base everything upon God's Word. So after this particular minister lost his mind or losing it, he just cried out to God. And he just felt in his spirit, he said, that he should just read the Word of God. So what he did is for the next year, every 2 weeks, he went through the entire Bible. The entire Bible, something like 6 hours a day, kneeling over his couch in India. The entire Bible, every 2 weeks, he just sat there and read it, Old Testament and New, Old Testament and New. Another person asks him, "How did you deal with going over all the meticulous details of the tabernacle and so on and so forth? How did you keep yourself from getting bored with that stuff?" He said, "I just thought to myself, if God's that detailed about a tabernacle, how much more detailed is He about my life?" Amen. 6 hours a day and for a whole year. And you know what? He's out there preaching again. He gets the Word to work now. And he pulls things out of the Word of God that you just never seen anything like in how many scriptures pour out of his heart. From the Old Testament and New, from far and near, he just pulls scriptures out and he could teach on the whole thing. You see? Why is that? Because he was feasting. He was very, very spiritually weak, like a desert in a parched land is what he was like. And he kept, all of a sudden, an abundance of rain came in and cured that drought. And after the cracked, parched land became pliable again and became good soil, then the seed kept going in. He watered it and it brought forth a harvest is what took place. Amen. His wife, they're both recovered. They did the same type of thing. Got set free. Amen. It doesn't matter. And he was ready to renounce God, the whole thing. Didn't want nothing to do with any, but none of it was working. Amen. I'm telling you, it's God's word will set anybody free. It doesn't matter. If they want to be free. Some people don't want to be free. They hear this message and still go about doing drugs and drinking and doing all sorts of things that cause them to fail, ruining their whole lives. They just have no regard for their own selves or anybody else around them. But some people will grab a hold of this and say, you know what, nothing else is working for me. Why don't I just try what this guy is trying to tell me? Maybe he knows something. Maybe, just maybe, I've made this work in my life. Amen. It's God's word that will give you strength. It's God's word that will quicken your mortal body. I can't tell you how many times I felt physically weak or sick. And I took medicine. What kind of medicine did you take? Well, Proverbs chapter 4 calls God's word his medicine. It's medicine to all your flesh, it says in the marginal rendering of your King James Version. Medicine. Amen. So we want to spend much time meditating God's word. We want to spend much time fasting too. I want to encourage you to get into fasting. If you haven't tried that yet, you just may like it. You should fast at least a couple days a week or maybe a meal a day. Some people do a meal a day. Smith Wigglesworth used to do a meal a day and he raised 19, 20 people from the dead. Praying in tongues, I highly recommend you do that for a few hours a day. You can do that. You can do that under your breath as you go about your day. If you do all three of those things, I mean, you're going to go from a weak little flesh creature to a spiritual strong man in just of a period of probably a year or so. Amen. It will happen. If you got emotional problems, you got mental problems, emotional problems, doctor tells you it's a chemical imbalance. No, it's not. It's a spiritual imbalance. God can work all of that out. If you got worry in your mind and you got anxiety, you're angry. The Bible tells you that the cure for anger is the word. He says this, everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth. He calls anger moral filth. Get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent and humbly accept the word planted in you which can save your souls. He's not talking about people being born again, saving their souls. The people he wrote James to were already saved. He's talking about your mind, your will, your intellect, your emotions. If you'll give yourself to the Word of God, you're going to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's going to save your souls so you become pure. And then he tells you this, but be ye doers of the Word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. He says, anyone who hears the word but does not do what it says, like a man that looks at his face in the mirror, and after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues therein, not forgetting what he's heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. What is he saying? He's telling you the key to doing the word, the key to getting free from anger, is to continue therein. Continue in what? The perfect law that gives liberty. What does that mean? Continue in the word. In other words, the same thing that Joshua said. God said to Joshua, meditate the word day and night. Keep the word pouring in you. It will save your soul. You're going to end up the way we do the word. Say, well, I don't do much of the word. The reason we don't do much of the word is because we don't spend enough time feasting on the word. We're too weak to do what the word says. You see, we need to spend time with God. If you notice, a lot of times when Jesus appeared or God appeared to people, that they would fall down. Daniel, multiple times when he had visions, he just laid there for a whole day. He was just worn out. You see, it can be difficult to come into the presence of God. I've had experience like that myself, where you just feel like you die after you have an experience with God. It saps your strength for some reason. That's because of spiritual weakness, you see. But we can get real strong if we live in His presence. Like Moses got so strong, he 80 days in God's presence. He didn't even eat for 80 days. Some people think he fasted 40 days. No, he fasted 80 days, food and water. That had to be supernatural. He went up there, he come back down, got mad at the people, went right back up. He never ate a meal. 80 days without food and water. Why is that? Because God's word is life. He sat up there listening to God speak to him for 80 days. Amen. Hallelujah. So let's make this a point to spend a lot of time in the Word. I've taught this message, something similar to this, probably dozens and dozens of times, and I would hate to even ask who's actually doing this. But there are some that I've told this message to, and they go home immediately and start putting it into practice. Let me tell you, some of those people are encouraged, and they're good disciples. Amen. They become strong to the point where they're not just sustaining themselves, but now they're affecting other people around them for God. That's what we want to be. And the way we do that is we spend time in the Word. You see? If we want to be successful in life, we're going to spend a lot of time in the Word. If we want to be a failure in life, who wants to be that, right? We don't want to be a failure. We want to be successful. So let's just stay in the Word then, because God says that's the only key to success. Is to hear His word and obey it. Amen. How could you go wrong? Why don't you ask yourself if what you're doing now is working for you? If what you're doing now isn't working for you and everything else you've tried isn't working for you, why don't you give this a try? It's not going to happen overnight. You got to do it consistently. You got to do it daily, like Jesus said, and you're going to have to do it forever. You're going to have to never look back. And if you'll do that, you will end up being extremely successful in whatever it is that God's called you to do. Amen? You'll start to witness to more people. You'll start to have instead of stumbling when people ask you questions about God, you'll find that that information is there. You can pull it out of your spirit and speak it to the people because you put it in there. Amen? Hallelujah, Jesus. Does it make any sense? Who's going to do it? Amen. Who's going to take the step? Amen. Who's going to make today the day to make the change, to get some kind of recording device of something? If you can't afford it, talk to us after service. We'll see what we can do. I've bought people things before so they could listen. This is very important to me that you do this, because when it comes to the comparison of the amount of time that you're subjected to things, this is just like a snack. But you can go home and feast for hours and hours. See, we're only together for a little bitty while, you see. But if you will go home and just feast on the Word for a couple hours a day, it's gonna expel all that darkness. It's gonna remove all the what we call chaff. It's like the stuff that they throw away when they clear the threshing floor. And it's going to fill you up with wheat. You're going to blow all that chaff away. You're going to be full of good grain. You're going to become a storehouse that's full of God. Glory to God. I'm telling you, I just can't, you know what, I just can't wait to get back home so I can be alone with Jesus again. Amen. I just can't wait till I can go get back into prayer and spend more time in the Word. Hallelujah. Were you always that way, Pastor? I was that way when I wasn't even a pastor. I was that way. Why? Because I know that God's Word will change me. Amen. God's Word makes me strong. It quickens my mortal body. It gives me life. Hallelujah. God's Word gives me strength. It encourages me. When people try to discourage me, when people try to be mean to me, I just find my strength again in the Word like David did. Amen. I find my strength with God. Hallelujah. If you just spend time alone with God, I'm telling you, you just can't be the worse for it. Amen.